week. Let's start off by looking at 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. And verse number 3, 2 Timothy 2, 3, the Bible says, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." Now that, you say, well, Paul's talking to this man, Timothy, but these words apply to you and me. We are called to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Well, if you're a good soldier, what does that imply? You got an enemy. You got someone you're going to be in battle with. They're going to be trying to fight you, and you're going to have to know how to defend yourself. So every good soldier should make it a point to know that enemy. You need to know your enemy well. And the Christian has actually three major enemies, and we're just looking at one of them tonight, the world. Okay, what are the other two? Anybody know? You got the world. What else? Huh? That's right. Yes, you're right. Satan and the flesh. That's your three. Those are the three things that are going to try to destroy you. And you better know them well. You better know how to see them coming. And if you're to be a working, God-pleasing, spirit-filled Christian, you need a good knowledge of these enemies and the dangers that they present. You need to know what is it about the world that I need to watch out for? Why is it a danger to me? Okay, along with the methods that they use to attack your Christian life and to attack your Christian testimony. And so we're going to look at the world. I don't know, maybe we'll go ahead and look at the flesh and the devil. I'll pray about it and see if that's how the Lord leads me this week. But we'll look at the world tonight, help you to be able to define it, identify it, recognize it as your enemy, and be able to learn about their tactics so you can defend yourself and fight back. When we talk about the world, we're not talking about the earth, okay? And we're not talking about the untold beauty of what God created, the mountains, the seas, the forests, the natural wonders. That's not what we mean. But rather, we're talking about the wicked, ungodly, God-denying, Christ-rejecting, humanistic world system that's around us. Okay? Including all places, things, and activities of the world that separate us from and oppose the living God. This world, don't you see it? It opposes the living God. It tries to, if you're in America, you know it for sure. When I was a boy growing up in school, first thing we would do before we would start our day in school was stand up, put our hand on our heart, look at the flag, and recite the anthem. Yeah, the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under. Here's the problem, God. We can't have God in the schools. And so now in America you find that kind of opposition to the living God. Kids can't do that in school anymore. And that's what's happening. That's why when I go to the Philippines, I love it, because you can go teach the Bible in the schools over there. And so we're going to talk, we're going to give you some examples of things that Christians should be aware of, and show you how the world in general is contrary to a holy and a righteous God. I can't talk about everything. Like I said, this is going to be a shorter lesson tonight. I am going to just mention the major things that you need to know, and that you need to be aware of and you need to avoid. Okay, the first thing is that you need to be aware of concerning the world is liberalism and secular humanism. Okay, liberalism and secular humanism. Big words, but it's really not that difficult. The biggest problem in our society today is that people do not fear God. That's the attitude of the day. And this attitude is brought on by a multitude of problems in our present society. But at the top of the list, you find this liberalism and secular humanism. These are not just some moralistic or political viewpoints, but that you should consider these to be rather a new and a dangerous religion. It's a form of religion is what it is. You know, and you've got your mild liberals that are not quite as left-wing as the secular humanists, but they all reject God. They all reject God's word. You see it posted in Facebook all the time. People say, my son got in trouble today for reading his Bible in school. Can't even read his Bible on his break time in school? Give me a break. That's just showing you where things are going. That's the enemy. Can't pray in school. And you can't say the word God. And in front of our courthouses, they're removing the Ten Commandments. It's opposition to God and God's word, God's commands. The word liberal means more than just being broad-minded. Okay, it means not restricted or not limited to the literal interpretation of the Bible. And that, believe it or not, that's according to Webster's Dictionary. Not limited to the literal interpretation of the Bible. That's a liberal. Okay, it means reform in religion to match a progressive society. Changing the religion to match the way the society is heading. You understand? In other words, the liberal will change God's rules to match his own modern day beliefs and purposes. Okay, what about this word secular? Because we're talking about secular humanism. Secular simply means not religious, not bound to any church or any religion. Because they have their own religion. This secular humanism is a religion. It's a belief system. The word humanism reflects a philosophy that is centered on man himself. And man's condition, and man's accomplishments, and man's goals. Man is the center of his philosophy. Now, these could be atheists. By and large, many of them are atheists, but some of them are deists. What is a deist? Anybody want to take a stab at that one? Deist. Deist just means you believe in some kind of a God. You're not saying there is no God like an atheist, okay? But it doesn't mean you know God, the God, okay? It's just a person that says, okay, I can accept that there is a God, okay? With that, they still reject the Bible as God's word. Okay, they still reject the Bible as God's word. Unless it suits them, a lot of times you'll find them quoting Bible verses out of context to try to prove their own view. You see that a lot. That's a worldly thing to do. They refuse to be limited to God's rules, and they rationalize their own morals based on emotion and their own warped logic. Okay? They believe that man can work out his own problems and that he'll eventually progress to perfection all by himself. And they're concerned with the material things of this life, and they're not concerned with God. They're not concerned with the souls of men. They're more concerned about trees and birds and, you know, things that might be extinct if we don't plug up the ozone layer, stuff like that. Christians don't need to worry about that. Why? Because God told us what's going to happen. It's His world. If we get a hole in the ozone, He can fix it. He's coming back, you know. All right. These humanists, these liberals, they are socialists politically. Socialists. They don't believe man has enough sense to take care of himself. And so they say they try to set up some big government system. They say that man needs a big government to watch over him and take care of him. Simply put, they favor a communist system over capitalism. Communism is a two-class government, the rich leaders and the poor. There's no middle class in the communist system like we have in America. You have a middle class in Philippines, I think. In India, you have a middle class? I think so. Yeah, the working class, all right. But in a communist government, there's no middle class. You got rich, you got poor. Okay? Big government loves to have many programs and services, and people become dependent, that people will become dependent on, so that the government can control them. Freedom and liberty as we know it is gone, and the common people are ruled by a kind of a police state. It's not good, not a good way of life. All right, these people who reject God and God's word, they are evolutionists and reject the Bible account of God and creation for the most part. They trust science rather than God to bring man to his perfection through the evolution of knowledge, so they think. The liberal humanist is an extreme environmentalist. Okay? And yeah, Christians aren't against protecting or enhancing our environment and taking care of the wildlife, but the Bible makes it clear that it's a sin to worship the creation more than the Creator, right? Who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever? Romans 1:25. God said they are liars. For example, they are more concerned about saving the trees or the endangered woodpeckers, the whales, the manatees, all those endangered things, and than they are about the unborn human babies being murdered every day by abortion. It's not uncommon to see a liberal's car, automobile, with a pro-choice bumper sticker on one side and a Save the Manatee or Save the Whales bumper sticker on the other side. You know, pro-choice meaning women should have the right to kill a baby if it's inside of her if she wants to. It's her choice. Kill the babies, but save the animals, save the trees. It's hard to believe. Hard to believe. All right, and this is just what happens when people reject God and reject His holy word, which gives laws, gives precepts that God expects us to live by, because it'll be a help to us. It'll be a benefit to us. And so you reject that. That's a society that's headed for destruction unless that society turns back to God. But the liberals ignore God and believe anything is all right as long as the end result is for the common good as they see it. See, the common good as they see it. It may not mean that it is good. It's just good in their eyes. And it doesn't matter if it's against God's law or man's law. In other words, the end justifies the means. Doesn't matter how you get there, but as long as it ends up right. A good example of this is years ago when the anti-hunters, people who were against people hunting animals, they were there were some hunters out in the woods shooting or waiting for an animal to go by that they could shoot and take home and eat. And these anti-hunters, they went out there and shot the hunters out of the trees. And that was in Florida. Save the deer, but murder the man, murder the hunter. Okay. And so this new religion without God, it's everywhere. It's infiltrated our public education system. It's brainwashing our children. And it's sad, especially when you see one of your own kids is falling prey to it, and all you can do is pray because it's got such a firm grip on them. It's very sad. We've allowed them to force prayer and even the word God out of our schools, and the result is an education system that's just in shambles. It's terrible. What's worse is it's all but taken over our higher court system, where judges are actually trying to rewrite the Constitution with opinions and verdicts that are contrary to this document that our country was founded on, America was founded on, biblical principles. That's why they don't like it. That's why they want to, after 200 years of history, they think now it's okay to change what the country was founded on, because it was founded on the Word of God. And if you don't hinder it, if it stays unchecked, these people, they'll create a secular, godless society. They're ruthless. And you can be assured they'll try to destroy anything or anyone that tries to get in the way of their goals of getting God out of their government system. This new religion is more than just a passing trend. You look at America, you can see it's already well on the way to destroying America. And this destruction there is being done primarily by eliminating America's Christian ties and destroying our capitalistic system. And these are the very attributes which have made America the richest and the strongest country the world's ever known. This is a religion that promotes big socialistic government that rules the people. It rules the people rather than, as it should be, the government serving the people. It's an anti-God, anti-Christ, anti-freedom, anti-middle class, anti-marriage, anti-family, anti-gun. You see that? That's real big right now. Anti-hunting, pro-abortion. It's monstrosity that has rejected the light of the Word of God. If God's people don't wake up, and wake up soon, it's going to be too late. The Christian needs to realize that we're in a serious battle. We need to speak out. We need to fight against the tenets of this new ungodly religion every chance we get, with prayer and with the sword of the Spirit. So that's the first thing, okay, liberalism and secular humanism. Number two is eyes and ears, okay? Things we need to be aware of. Did you know your eyes and ears are the doorways to the soul? What Christians allow to enter the eyes and the ears can be a great help or a tremendous hindrance to their spiritual growth. You know that's true. You know it's true. Who hasn't sat in front of a TV show and at the end said, "Man, my spirituality is started out up here at the beginning of that show, and now it's down here. Now I got to go read the Bible." And that you can't get back as quickly as you just lost your spirituality. I don't know if that ever happened to you. That's my experience. But hey, the type of music you listen to is very important. The devil has used music for years to draw people away from God. Rock music, it's terrible, it's the worst, because most of it is absolutely demonic, and there's no such thing as Christian rock, all right? The devil's message through this media is not always obvious. It's not always going to be right there on the surface where you can see, oh, yeah, listen to those words, that's devilish. Sometimes it's subliminal. It's not noticeable to the conscious mind, but it speaks loud and clear to the subconscious mind. Okay, it enters the subconscious mind and does the damage without you even knowing it. But it's not just the music you need to be cautious with. Be careful of anything you listen to and that you allow to enter into your mind. Feed the mind with spiritual and godly material, not the junk of unsaved people and the world. Remember, they worship the wrong gods. What you see and those things that enter in through the eyes is also extremely important in keeping your temple clean. Your temple. Remember, the body is the temple of the indwelling Holy Spirit. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Body's the temple of the indwelling Holy Spirit. If you're saved. 1 Corinthians 6:19. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Okay, belongs to God. So if you are to keep your temple as you're commanded to here, if you're to keep it clean, keep it in order, you must be very careful with that TV, with the television, with movies. Okay, without a doubt, those are the greatest sources of spiritual pollution in the world today. Spiritual pollution, all right? Now, granted, I'll give you this, some movies, and less every year, but some movies can be great entertainment or can be an educational tool if it has the right content, but the Christian just needs to be very careful of the programs that they watch, and especially what you allow your children to watch. Don't let the TV babysit your children. Their mind is getting corrupted. They're getting brainwashed by that stuff. The mind is affected by what goes in through the eyes. And unfortunately, there's plenty of trash around today. The subject matter that dominates the visual media today, what is it? It's centered around sex, around violence, right? And it serves as a primary source for those things. The media promotes pornography, promotes adultery, promotes sexual perversion. You want an example? I hear this all the time on BBC News on the radio. All I want is the news. I want to know what's going on in the world every now and then, okay? But they are trying to indoctrinate people, to get everybody thinking the way they think. And what they think is that homosexuality is normal, and anybody who doesn't think so is not normal, and they're the enemy. And there's something wrong with the person that thinks what God thinks. and it's not just once, it's at least once a week that I hear that kind of indoctrination going on that station, BBC. But it promotes that perversion, it promotes fornication, it promotes sex outside of marriage, foul language. I mean, it's, you can't watch anything anymore. Even on the you're in Kuwait and they cut certain things out, but they don't cut out the foul language, do they? It's, they'd have to cut half the movies anymore, I think. Promotes the use of drugs, the use of alcohol, violence and murder, cigarette smoking, you know, all kind. You know what it's teaching you is cool or right or okay or don't worry about it, you know. It is spiritual suicide to let this trash enter your mind through your eyes or through any other way. It's not only bad for adults, but the results of children viewing this trash, it's tragic. Children as young as 9 or 10 years old are having sex, stealing. And in America, you got murders going on in schools, mass murders by little kids going in schools, shooting the place up or going around stabbing people. Where do they learn that stuff? I saw it on TV, you know, and that's true. Murdering their schoolmates, murdering their brothers, sisters, parents. And they say they learned how to do it on TV. The adult Christian needs to realize that this kind of programming is produced by unregenerated mankind. What is that? Lost people. You're going to let them entertain us, you know. And why do they, I mean, what's the purpose of putting those episodes, those shows on? It's for the purpose is to make money, and it's extremely harmful to your relationship with God. It really is. So don't let that be your personal downfall. All right, so things you hear, things you see, and that includes written material. I mean, naturally, there's numerous other ways you can allow the wrong influences to enter in through your eyes. And in fact, I'm sure there's more written material that's ungodly than there is visual media, at least for now. But they're making movies every year, all the time. But they're still writing books too. Thing is, I don't think the average person reads as much as people used to. But nevertheless, the point is you need to be just as careful of the written garbage as the visual kind. Okay? Whether you see it, hear it, or read it, the subject remains, whatever the subject is that you saw or heard or read, it's going to stay there in your subconscious mind. It'll return to cause you problems later on. Everybody has sinful images from the past that pops up from, you know, on certain occasions. But if you don't put those sinful images in your brain in the first place, you won't have to worry about them coming back. Okay, what about number 3, the mouth? The mouth, that's a doorway for worldly things such as alcohol, drugs, unhealthy foods, and probably some other things that can enter your body and harm the body. But remember, and I've already said it, the body is the temple of the Holy Spirit after we're saved, and it's our responsibility to keep that body in subjection and keep that body free of unclean things. Again, 1 Corinthians 6:19. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? All right. Watch what you put in your mouth. Number 4, people and places. People and places. They can be your best friend or your worst enemy. Who a Christian associates with and the places they go, that is going to determine their spiritual condition. If you associate with people who are not living the Christian life, you're not going to have an influence on them. They're going to have an influence on you. they're going to rub off on you. Their bad habits will become your bad habits too. You can't expect to quit some of your own bad habits if you're hanging around people who still engage in those things after you're saved. It's not. You say, I can do it, I've got willpower. There's not enough willpower, okay? And the same thing goes for the places where you go. It's simple. Stay away from people and places of temptation or of bad influence so that you can stay out of trouble and so that your spiritual growth will not be hindered. You wonder why you see a guy who said he's been saved for 50 years and he still doesn't show any sign of it? That's why. He's not staying away from those places and people. Okay, so yes, this means that you should not have fellowship with lost people. Now, I didn't say you couldn't talk to them. I didn't say you couldn't work with them. You have to be around them. It's impossible to avoid them. But don't have fellowship with them, with lost people. The Bible. Look at what the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Just so you know, I'm not making this stuff up. Second Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 14 and 15. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Yoked together. Buddy-buddy. Working together, playing together, doing everything together. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? See the huge difference that, or the contrast that's trying to be painted here? Verse 15, and what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? Okay? All right, so unbelievers, no fellowship. Also, don't even fellowship with Christians, if those Christians, if you know they're not living right, okay? Look at, and you should remember this one, but let's look at it. Second Thessalonians. Chapter 3, verses 6 and 7. 2 Thessalonians 3, 6. Now we command you, brethren, okay, brethren, that means saved people, Christians, we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly, and not after the tradition which he received of us. For yourselves know how ye ought to follow us, for we behaved not ourselves disorderly among you. Okay. Now, so what can you do with these people? Well, the lost, you can deal with the lost to get them saved. Okay. In fact, you should. You can deal with the backslidden Christian to get them to repent and come back to Christ. Okay. You just can't fellowship with either one of those. And if they reject your attempt to help them, you just need to stay away from them. But pray for them. Continue to pray for them. All right, there's no way to be in fellowship with God and patronize with the wrong people in the wrong places. The key is to replace these bad elements in your past life with Christian people and places. Okay, just search until you find a good Bible-believing church and involve yourself and your family in that work and with those godly people. Okay, you can fellowship with godly people who love the Lord, love God's Word. Good rule for determining what you do or the people and the places that you'll go to or visit or patronize. A good rule is to ask yourself the question, would I be doing this if Jesus was here with me? Okay? Would I do this if Jesus were here with me? In fact, this it's a good question to ask about anything. The Bible says in Proverbs 15:3, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. Proverbs 15:3. All right, so understandably, these are some of the hardest things the Christian must do, especially when that person is just newly saved. I'm not saying it's easy. and I'm saying it as an American, and Americans are used to being entertained, and it's hard to limit, it's real hard to limit what we watch, what we read. It's hard for us to change our lifestyle, hard for us to change the people that and the places that we spend our time with. But I can't emphasize enough how important, how extremely important it is for the Christian, you know, to have these disciplines in the Christian life. Because if you don't, you'll never grow spiritually until you have control of these things. You want to grow spiritually? Yeah, you can say, I want to be a good Christian all you want, but if you keep watching TV, you keep hanging out with your old unsaved friends, you keep going to the wrong places, you keep, you know, doing the worldly things, you'll never grow spiritually. God will give you something better to replace what you give up for Him. You know that? If you're thinking about, how can I give up this friend or that place, you know, God's got something better for you. All right, so in closing, I'll just give you some final thoughts on this subject of the world, our enemy, the world. And Jesus warned, look in John 15. I want you to see his warning there. John chapter 15. If you're doing it right, Jesus said, this is what you can expect. If you're living the right life, here's what you can expect. John chapter 15, verses 18 and 19. John 15, 18. If the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. If ye were of the world, the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Do you fit right in with the world? Are you comfortable with the world? Are they comfortable with you? They should hate you. Something's wrong, okay? Jesus said he had chosen us out of the world. In other words, he's called us out to be different. He wants us to be separate. He wants us to be set apart. That's what sanctified means. He wants us to be sanctified, set apart from the sins of this present world. We're not to be partakers of the things that others say or try to convince us is, it's all right. Don't worry about it. It's not all right. Why? Because God says it's wrong. God says it's sinful. Doesn't matter what anybody else says. We all know the world is full of temptation. There's a lot of things in this world that would make us try to make us covet, that would occupy our minds if we're not careful. If we're not careful. But we can't allow the things of the world to come between us and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Scripture is very plain on this subject. 1 John 2:15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Do you think the Lord didn't mean that? He put it in his book. So where is your heart today? Is your time, your money, and your mind consumed with your desire for the things and the lusts and the pleasures of this world? Are you more concerned with the creation than you are with the Creator? Who do you love the most, Jesus or the things of the world? Is there any evidence in your life to prove that you love Jesus the most? Some have put it this way, is there enough evidence in your life? If they were putting Christians in jail for being Christians, is there enough evidence in your life to get you put in jail? To convict you of being a born-again Christian? Or if they put you on trial, could you prove, would there be any evidence that you love the Lord? So remember his instructions. Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 to 21. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much, Lord, for exposing to us tonight one of our enemies, this wicked and corrupt and perverse world that is against you, is against your word, and will try to corrupt our minds and thoughts and lives and testimonies any way they can. Lord, help us to be on guard, to keep that shield up, to continue to read your word, to be in constant contact with you on our knees in prayer. Help us, Lord, to stay in the battle and to aim to win and to avoid that enemy, the world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.